blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 11, stanzas 1 through 4. O Jehovah, hear my words, to my thoughts attentive be. Hear my cry, my King, my God. I will make my prayer to thee. 1 through 4 of Psalter number 11.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in Psalm 73. Psalm 73. And but first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord, thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, and thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Psalm 73. A psalm of Asaph. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. They say, how doth God know? and is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castedst them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I, and ignorant, I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. So far, the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Dustin Grisnick, who must go to Calgary for test tomorrow. Riley Rosendahl has come home from the hospital. Two children were born this past week in the congregation. Mr. and Mrs. Peter Wessels were gladdened with a well-born son, and Mr. and Mrs. Leon Vanee with a well-born daughter. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, thou who sparest us to this moment, bringest us together in thy house again on this beautiful Sabbath day, wherein we may come before thy holy countenance. Our time that is in thy hands, as we have experienced it also in the week that is gone by, when with a very young family, a young mother and father, we have stood at an open grave of a very little child. And thus thou hast spoken in the midst of our community that we are but dust and that we are returning unto the dust. And for us the time that is still continuing. And yet we may often sing together out of thy holy word time, like an ever-rolling stream, bears all its sons away. And so, moment by moment is going by us, minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, month by month, year by year. And so that ever-rolling stream continues, and we are carried along with that stream of time, each one of us in one moment of that time, to come to its end and to enter into that place where there shall be time no longer. A place wherein all is swallowed up in a never-ending eternity. O Lord, how precious is that time. How precious then are the days, are the hours, are the moments of each day that we are spending upon this world, as it is a time of preparation for that great eternity. But we are, though thy works are so very great, and thy thoughts are so very deep, we are so very brutish, that we do not understand. And those moments and those days and those weeks, we do permit them to fly by us, spending all of our time seeking all that is here below, everything that is passing away, everything that the world sees as valuable treasures, and everything that we have soon to leave behind us. In that moment that we enter into that never-ending eternity, and so the foolishness of man lies hard upon him and hard upon each and every one of us. Lord, unless we are stopped upon that way, unless we are shown our wretchedness, unless we are shown our foolishness and our carelessness, then we shall continue on so that we at that moment of time, at that last moment, shall drop and we shall fall headlong into that eternal pit where hope shall never come, and where that fire that ever burneth and is never quenched, and where that worm that dieth not. Oh, that thou may give us then an earnestness this day. Oh, is it not the day that thou hast set aside, O Lord, that we may use the means of grace one day out of the seven? Thou commandest us to labor for 6 days, and each of us has gone about our labors in the week that is gone by. May it have been with great diligence that we have done our work in the sight of thee. But, O Lord, now a day, now an hour, that thou hast set aside for us, that we may set aside all the things that have to do with this life, and for a moment we may consider the need of our poor souls. Lord, then it is an hour that also will be set before our face when we enter into that great judgment, that thou wilt ask what we have done with this hour, what we have done with this thy word that we have heard, and whether we have taken it to heart, and whether we have turned away from all our vanity under all the callings that have come unto us. And then we must give an account for every word and for every message, whether it be the death of our loved ones or in our community, and whether it be in the ways of thy providence, or whether it be in thy holy house of prayer. And then thou wilt ask us, where is the fruit of all the dealings that thou hast had with our soul? And Lord, what answer shall we give to thee? Oh, then if thou dost not touch our hearts in a moment as this, and when we are under thy word, and then, Lord, then it shall be sure what that fruit is. And then it shall be a fruit that will be to our destruction, because we will never turn unto thee. Our hearts love sin and this world, and we have nothing that goes out after thee.
Lord, we beseech thee then, O come this day, come this hour, come with thy Holy Spirit, pour it forth, and take of that work of thine only begotten Son, and wilt thou apply it to us and our dear children, whether we are young or whether we are old, for we know not the day that we have to appear before thee. And then also our children stand in need of a God for their soul. Oh, that thou may impress then savingly these matters upon us, that we may begin to hunger and to thirst after righteousness, and that that we may be given that true poverty of spirit, that thy dear Son may indeed become precious unto those whom thou hast touched by thy Spirit. Lord, thou knowest the love and the desire, and thou knowest the longing and the hungering that is in the heart of this one and that one in the midst of us. Lord, then it cannot be denied, and that from time to time, and that thou placest also in the midst of us that a longing by thy Spirit. But Lord, wilt thou then lead in that way of free and sovereign grace? Then it is so necessary that a person is instructed in the knowledge of himself. Oh, then it is so necessary that our misery may be seen in its wretchedness and in its filthiness and in all our pollution and corruption and our guilt, and that we may be given to see also our weakness, our spiritual weakness, that we may need a Savior, and that we may need a Mediator, and that we may need a Redeemer for our soul. Oh, that the Son of God, He who is beloved unto the Father, may also become beloved unto us. Oh, that He may become white and ruddy unto us, and that He may become to us the chiefest among 10,000, and that thou may receive thy honor and thy glory in the life of thy children. Lord, to whom else shall we go but unto thee? This is a miracle, this work. It is a work of thy Holy Spirit. And thou sayest thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. And oh, may we not hear it from our forefathers, and what thou hast done also unto them in the days that are gone by. Oh, they had hearts as we do, and they had wretched and miserable hearts. They had worldly hearts. They had sinful hearts. They had a flesh that did fight against everything that was right and spiritual. And thou didst come and overcome all that that was of self. And thou didst cast out the strong man armed. And thou didst take thy abode in their hearts, so that they may learn to speak of the wonders of the Lord. O thou God of the heavens and of the earth, and thou who art the same still today in the day we live in with our children, we beseech thee, Lord, come then. O come and show thyself, that thy countenance may shine upon us, and that we might be saved when shines thy face once more. O look upon us in all our needs, many needs also of this life. Look on the child who must go into the hospital in the week to come. Wilt thou supply wisdom, O Lord, for the doctors? For thou knowest all the misery through which this child has been. And there are so few answers from the side of men. But Lord, that thou may help now, when this doctor shall examine. Oh, that thou may give wisdom from above, and that thou may give opening also into the mystery of his body, and that thou may bless all that is taking place, and that he may receive health and strength once again. Strengthen the parents in this cross and in this trial which is upon them day by day, and that thou may look also upon their other children. Look also upon the child whom thou hast spared and brought home from the hospital, and when thou hast brought through surgery. And Lord, then it can be so different as we have seen in the week gone by, and when a little child had to be laid in the grave, and this child thou didst spare for parents and family alike. Oh, that it may humble the heart of his loved ones, and that thou may strengthen him further in the body. And when thou hast given also two children to be born in the midst of the congregation, Lord, that thou may humble the hearts of the parents, and that thou may strengthen the mothers, and that thou may give that these children, that they may be part of that kingdom which thou wilt build up, that may serve thee forever and forever. Oh, what a wonder then that our children may also be born again. Oh, look then upon them all together. And wilt thou remember all those that mourn, widows, widowers, and orphans, and all those who miss their loved ones, and all those thy servants that go forth this day. Lord, help them. And wilt thou be on the right and on the left of each and every one whom thou hast sent into thy service. O thou who callest, and thou art faithful to help, as thou dost promise in sending forth thy servants. O that thou may send forth more servants into thy vineyard, and that thou may look also upon all the congregations in our denomination that have no under shepherd to go before them. Lord, that thou may strengthen elders when they go forth this day in the reading of sermons, and that thou may give freedom and liberty unto all thy servants, and that thou may so bless us, O Lord, in the midst of a wicked and a perverse generation of this world, when our children are also drawn in this world. Oh, then we have but one hope, and we have but one expectation, and that is that thy work may be felt and experienced to be powerful, to stop us upon our mad career, and to turn us unto thee, we and our children. Oh, forgive, Lord, all that is sinful, and give us freedom and liberty in the proclamation of thy holy word in this morning hour. Feed thy people, and wilt thou increase the number of thy Zion, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 113, 5, 6, 8, and 10 through 12. My enemies against me speak, and they my life have scorned. They wish my name to pass away, unhonored and unmourned. The last collection today is for the building fund. And we make a second announcement. Gert van Hagenbos from the RCNA of Monarch has requested to become a member of our congregation. Lawful objections must be brought to the consistory before September 1st. Psalter 113, 5, 6, 8, 10 through 12. Thank you. Congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour can be found in the Song of Solomon, the first chapter, the fifth and the sixth verses. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. I am black, but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. So far the words of our text. The bride anticipates an objection of the daughters of Jerusalem. First, the reason for this anticipation. Second, her admission in this anticipation. And third, her assertion in this anticipation. The bride anticipates an objection of the daughters of Jerusalem. First, the reason. Second, her admission. And third, her assertion in this anticipation. Congregation, the way of Orpah is the way of our natural flesh. And it is to us, young people, sometimes understandable when you would come of age, and that you would, even as Orpah, and that you would reject the truth, that you would leave the church, and that you would go and make your choice for this world. That is for us understandable. And why so understandable? Well, in the first place, there is nothing by nature that is dwelling in our heart and that is hungering and thirsting after God. And there is nothing in our heart by nature that is seeking for the truth. No, actually, it is just the opposite. The truth we do not want to hear. And there is everything in this world that draws us. Everything in this world that our heart is going after, in which our heart that so agrees with. And then there is something else. Then it seems like there is so little. There is so little in our day that is in the house of God to draw you. There is so little that is shining. There is so little that is emanating, as it were, from the life of God's true people. Sadly, it is often just the opposite, that when you are looking upon that people, that you are being turned away by them. And we do live, we must say, in a sad day. We live in a day where it seems that that Spirit of the Lord is so quiet. And yet, this really is no different. No different than that it has always been. Because it takes a very special grace for a person to do as Ruth did. It takes a very special grace for a person to see through all her affliction and to see through everything that that woman had to endure, and then to see that treasure and to say and to make by grace a choice as Ruth to say, that is now the people And that is now the God that I long for my own soul. And so we see this also in the Song of Solomon. And if you remember, that is, perhaps there are those who remember, those who meditate a little bit, children, boys and girls, on the things that you are hearing Sabbath by Sabbath day, and also in school, in your Bible lessons. We hope there are those of you who do not only go home and forget what you hear, but that there are also those of you who try to bring it back again into your memory, to remember it. And thus, if you think back as to what you have heard last time, then we have heard something so precious concerning the bride. And what had that bride said? She said, "The king hath brought me into his chambers." And we remember what those chambers were. And they were those blessed places of communion. They were those special places where by times the Lord is leading his church, as so that he may lead them into the mysteries of his grace. Those special places where the Lord is revealing something of his own secrets unto his afflicted and his poor people that are in this world. And then we heard how glad she was, because the Lord had answered her supplication, that she had asked it of the Lord, if he would draw her that she might run after him. And then indeed she may exclaim that the Lord hath brought me into his chambers. And then she may be so glad. "We will be glad," she says, "we will rejoice in thee." Thus the rejoicing of that church, that is not something that is beginning in heaven. But the rejoicing of that church is beginning already here below, so that it is a church who will not do a strange work one day in eternity. And now that bride, she turns, as it were. And her thoughts, they are going out to the rest of the church. Her thoughts go out unto these daughters of Jerusalem. We remember who they were. They are the beginners in grace. They are those who are newly converted. And they are those who are in their first love. They are those who are weak. They are scarcely formed. They are those who do not yet know, who are not yet married unto this bridegroom. And then we hear it as if that this bride, as she is going to give an answer unto these daughters of Jerusalem. But we have not heard that the daughters of Jerusalem have spoken. We have not heard that they have asked a question. We have not heard that they have said anything. And yet, this bride, she is, as it were, going to answer them for something they have not said. It is good if we do not say everything that we think, because everything that we think, sadly, is not all good. And in the multitude of words we read, there wanteth not sin. And therefore, he that refraineth his lips, we read, is wise. And what does this bride do? Well, this bride, she was also at one time as those daughters of Jerusalem. And that bride can remember also those days when she has looked upon the bride, when she has looked upon that true church of God, when she was standing, as it were, herself on the outside of it. And she has looked upon that church, and that bride, she can now understand when she is speaking here what is going on a little bit in the hearts of those newcomers, of those young ones, of those little lambs, of these daughters of Jerusalem. And then she anticipates something. She anticipates an objection. Why? Because of an observed dichotomy, contradiction, something that she sees, two things, as it were, they don't exactly fit together. Because she has spoken of herself that she has been brought in now unto those chambers of the king. Then she has spoken of what it is to be in nearness to him. She has spoken of what that is to be brought into his communion, to feel something, to experience something of his favor, of his nearness. But these things naturally are inward. There is no one that can see into our hearts. And therefore, there is no way for those daughters of Jerusalem to know what is going on in her heart except that she will express this with her mouth. And thus she has expressed it indeed with her mouth. But then she can understand that something else is going on in the hearts of these daughters of Jerusalem. She can understand that perhaps what these daughters of Jerusalem are thinking in themselves. Why? Because they do not only hear, but they also see. They do not only hear my words, but they also see my life. They see all the circumstances of my life. And then when we are young, in grace, when we are, as it were, in our first love, and when the Lord has given much desire, and when that zeal that is burning in our heart after the Lord and after that service of the Lord, and then that people are looking upon that experienced bride, oh, then there is often something that they are not able to put together. Why? Because often they hear them complaining. They hear them complaining about the hardness of their heart. Indeed, they hear them complaining about how dead and how cold that their heart is unto the Lord. And indeed, they may see also sometimes the laxity in the life of that people. Sometimes it can go so far that they see also that the people, they are actually walking in the way of the world, that they are walking in the ways of sin, that covetousness is lying in their hearts, and that they are engrossed in all the material things of the day, that they are even going with Solomon perhaps into the idol temples, and that they are laying with Samson in the lap of a Delilah. Then you can understand that there is great confusion in the heart of these daughters of Jerusalem. And then the people have a character. It is not always a good character. The character which they carry with them from the cradle unto the grave. And then they wonder how it is possible that this is now one who has indeed grace. And then they see affliction. Then they see one thing on top of the other. How that the Lord serves them with sickness. How that the Lord serves them with cross providences. The dealings of the Lord in the life of that people. And then they see that they are brought in a way of persecution. How that the enemy is given to have the upper hand over them. And then they are given to see the evils in their own heart that are brought out in their life, maybe even within the offices. And then they are given to see the politics, perhaps, that are taking place even within that church of God. Then we have the daughters of Jerusalem, those young and those tender hearts. And then they say, Is this now the true people of the Lord? And now the bride, she anticipates this. And she says, I do not want to be a stumbling block for these daughters of Jerusalem. Oh, that I would never be the cause that these daughters of Jerusalem, that these tender hearts may be hurt, that they may be wounded, and that they may be turned away from that service of the Lord. And therefore she anticipates, and she will answer. She will answer this objection that she anticipates in their heart. And then what does she do? She admits something. That is our second thought. What does she say? She says, I am black. She says, yes, I can understand what is going on in your heart. Yes, she says, all that. That is so very, very true. Indeed, I am black. I am black, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar. Kedar was a son of Ishmael. Ishmael, you know who was, right, boys and girls? Ishmael, he is the brother of Isaac. Ishmael was sent away from Isaac, and the Ishmaelites, these were nomads, these sons of Ishmael, Kedar, nomads that lived in the desert, and they lived in tents, and they picked up their tents from time to time, and they went from place to place, and in keeping their flocks. David says, woe is me that I dwell in the tents of Kedar. The tents of Kedar. Thus not actually, he did not live in one of the tents of Kedar. But he says, those men of Kedar, they are men who roam about the earth from place to place. And he says, woe is me, because I am given in my persecutions, that I am given to be just as the men of Kedar that have to go from place to place, seeking a place to live in this world, that I may not come under the shelter and the comforts of my own home. Thus the tents of Kedar, those tents that they made in those days, they were made of camel's hair and goat's hair. And then you can understand that they are in the desert, and that wind that is blowing and that sand that is blowing into these tents. So these tents, they are heavy actually with the sand of the desert. And then not only the sand of the desert, but they would build their fires even within these tents to cook upon, and that the smoke of that food would get into these tents. So these tents were actually heavy with dirt and grime in this camel and in this goat's hair. And now the bride cannot find anything more foul to describe her own condition. She says, I am black as the tents of Kedar. Thus she extenuates, she makes as great as possible her own blackness. I am black, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, so black as these tents of Kedar. Congregation, this week was a funeral. And at a funeral, then we are dressed in black. Why? Why? Because black, that is a symbol of mourning. And that is a symbol of wretchedness. And than there have been in our, as our ancestors, they have often dressed so, in dark, in black, especially when they came to the Holy Supper of the Lord. And then there is sometimes criticism of this way, that we say, why? That is not necessary that we dress in black. No, necessary not. However, do we understand why that they have done so? Then there is a people who the Lord instructs in their wretchedness. There is a people who the Lord instructs in their blackness. That they feel themselves even to be as black as these tents of Kedar. Oh, did you ever feel yourself to be indeed so black? And then that bride describes what makes her so black as those tents of Kedar. She says, because the sun hath looked upon me. And we know that that sun that has had great heat and has great heat, in especially in those countries of the world. But the sun has in the scripture been used as a picture. The sun and the heat of the sun that is used in the scripture as a symbol often of persecution. We read when the Lord Jesus told the parable of the different kinds of ground, the sower sowing his seed. Then he described also that temporary faith, that faith that lasts but for a little time. And then he spoke about that seed falling into a ground where there was only a little bit of earth. And then what did he say? He says, when the sun came up, then they were scorched. And because they had no deepness of earth, then they withered away. And then he gave the application. And then what did he say? He says, men hear my words. But, he says, after some time, that man, he has no root in himself. So he only lasts, he only endures for a little while. And then, tribulation and persecution arise. And because he is offended, then he is departing. Thus, persecution and tribulation, he is picturing by that great heat and that scorching of the sun. And thus, the bride, she does also the same. She says that she is made black. She is made black by tribulation. She is made black by persecution and the effects of that persecution and the long continuance of that persecution. That she is made black by this cross which she is made to bear in this world. And who are the instruments of this suffering? She says, they are my brothers and my sisters. Brothers and sisters, are you instruments for the suffering of your brothers and sisters? Is that not an awful thing? She says, they are my own mother's children. They are my brethren. My mother's children were angry with me. That was not the enemy. That was not the heathens. No, they were the ones that were so close to me. They were the ones that sat together with me in the benches within that visible church of God. Because that visible church of God, that is now the common mother to those who are unconverted and converted within that visible church. Thus, there are in that church good fishes, there are in that church bad fishes, there are those who are born of the Spirit, and there are those who are born of the flesh. They profess with their mouth that same truth, and yet there are those who are enemies, enemies of true godliness. There was never a time in the church that the church was without them. Abel already was such an enemy. And he hated Cain, children. He hated Cain with such an enmity already, and that he is ready to strike him so that he. And Cain hated Abel with such an enmity that he is ready to strike him so that he dies. And why? Because the Lord accepted Abel. That is why. Because there was envy in the heart of Cain. Cain could have asked the Lord for that same blessing. Or Cain ought to have gone on his knees and said, Lord, wilt thou remember me also? No, he is angry. He is angry at the true church of God. And so we see that throughout the church of all ages, Ishmael, he is mocking at Isaac. Peninnah, she is mocking because there is no fruit in Hannah. And she is making her to fret. Saul, he is chasing David. Oh, there is envy. He sees that the Lord is with David. He knows that the Lord is with David. And he hates him, therefore. Saul of Tarsus, he will persecute that true church of God unto death, but he is living, as it were, among them. What did Paul complain about? He says, I have suffered perils from false brethren. Brethren even within the church of God itself. So Paul says it is ever going to be that way. Because he says, as he that persecuted him that was, as he that was born of the flesh persecuted him that was born of the spirit. Thus, as Ishmael persecuted Isaac, so it is, he says, even now. So it continues even unto the end of the world. Thus, we do not read in the Bible that the apostle sews pillows under the armholes of everyone in the visible church and says, you are all covenant children. You are all included. And we will see what's going to come of that. No. No, he says, there are tares. There is wheat. There is the true church of God within that visible church. And then there are tares. They are sitting here among that wheat. And tares that are actually persecutors, haters in their heart of the true work of God. My mother's children were angry with me. That is the cause of her suffering. She has done them no wrong. David was not free of guilt for sin against God, but he was free of guilt for sin against Saul. And now that graceless professor, oh, he is often envious. Envious at those in whom he detects something. He detects something of truth. He detects something of uprightness. He detects something of the true fear of the Lord. He detects something of the favor of the Lord to that people. And with all his outward show of religion, actually within his heart, he is envious, and there is anger, and there is hatred. Pharisees hated the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus says, if they have hated me, they are also going to hate you. Thus, a people in their affliction, in their poverty in this world, that are made as the filth of the world and the offscouring of all things, Paul says, unto this day. And why? 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 Because they are not of this world. Because the Lord has chosen them, he says, out of this world. And therefore, it is a people who are persecuted without cause. And yet it is a persecution that is so common. The church is very often from the beginning to the end under this cross. And all the bitter reproaches that are leveled against that honest and that upright people, they are making them black. Oh, they are spreading rumors about that people, this and that, whatever that they can find throughout the whole congregation and denomination, and then the name of that people, and that is in the eyes of all the members that is becoming so black. Their innocency, that does not protect them, only their innocency does one thing. Their innocency gives them rest. Their innocency of those things of which they are accused by those who hate them, who are angry with them, their conscience that knows before the Lord that it is not right. Therefore, they have some rest, and yet they have this lot in the world, because the Lord Jesus says, if they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards. To keep the vineyards, that was base work, that was contemptible work, that was, boys and girls, work that you don't want to do. That was work that they gave the servants, work that they gave the slaves, the poor people. They had to dress the vines. That actually was a time the Lord promised Israel that there was coming a time that they would not have to do this work of dressing the vineyards anymore. That the Lord was going to bring them into such prosperity that they were going to have servants, that they were going to have slaves. And those slaves would be the ones that would address those vines. Strangers, he says, shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. Then what does the Lord say he will give his people to do? Oh, he says, you shall be ministers and you shall be priests to your God. Is that not a wonder? Is that not a blessed work? Oh, to be a minister. Oh, to be a priest, one that may serve. Oh, what is now the desire? What is the desire now of that true church? That is to be in God's house. That is to read His Word. That is when it is right, of course. To read His Word, to bow their knees, to speak of those spiritual matters, the things of the Lord. That is their desire. And all what is then all the labor of this world, so often the labor of this world that is nothing to them but a distraction, that they have to go about yet their business, and that they are not able to keep their mind that is focused on the things of the Lord. If the Lord converts you, girls, you know, then there is a time that even as a woman that you would say, I would like to be a minister. I would like if always I could go and search that word of God and I could speak and always be thinking about these things. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyard. So that tells of the nature of her suffering, that is a painful, that is a heavy suffering. She has to watch day and night. She has to lay under that scorching heat by day, and that's why she says she is so black, she is scorched from the sun. Thus she suffers under the persecution of distractions. When there is not only the things of this world, but also those enemies, they are not allowing her to think upon the things of the Lord, and Satan knows how to bring distractions in the life of that church. As he is persecuting that church of God, then there is this thing in their life and there is that thing in their life, so that all of their attention and all of that which may be spiritual may be so taken away from them, and that they may be so empty of those things that are of the Lord. Oh, they make them to bear the burden of the heat of the day.
Why? By the hatred and by the malice of the professors of that same church. There is malice against true godliness. There is malice against that upright walk of that people, that they are coming against such a walk, that they are making havoc of such a walk in the midst of the congregation. There is malice against that true doctrine, because that doctrine is not received by that natural man. There is malice that is devoid of all tenderness toward that people, except the tenderness that is for the show in the midst of the congregation and before men. Malice that brings the godly under the basest of afflictions. What does David say? He says, "Mine enemies speak evil of me. They say, when shall he die and his name perish? And if he come to see me, he speaketh vanity. His heart gathereth iniquity to itself. And when he goeth abroad, he telleth it, yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me." My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. She is not black just because of the persecution of others. She is not black just because of affliction and trial and tribulation. She is black because of her own sin. Oh, there is something in her that even is preeminating, that is coming over everything else. She says, "But mine own vineyard I have not kept." Thus, it is not only her circumstances, it is not only her sufferings, but it is her own guilt. Oh, she says, "The Lord has given me a vineyard, and that is now a great privilege if the Lord also gives her her own vineyard to tend to." Oh, she has been given graces. She has been given gifts. She has been given talents from the Lord. No, not in a natural way we speak of, but in a spiritual way. Gifts that are withheld from so many in this world. A garden, as it were, a vineyard to tend to, that it may bring forth fruit. Oh, that is then her duty. That is to her duty that she may improve, that she may use those talents, those graces, that there may be fruit in her own life, that there may be fruit in the life of the church of God. And now she says, "To my great shame, oh, I have not kept it." She speaks about her own sloth. She speaks about her own unwatchfulness concerning herself, concerning the grace of God that was given unto her. And now her own neglect that has caused that there is so little fruit in her vineyard, that there is so little evident in her life, there is so little emanating, that there is so little shining forth in her life, also for these daughters of Jerusalem. "Mine own vineyard have I not kept." Oh, her guilt that blackens her, her sorrow that blackens her, and she is brought into such a low condition, poor, despicable in the eyes of the congregation, to her own shame. And then those onlookers, all those onlookers, they find every sin, every shortcoming. Then they are watching if they may not find something. Oh, what has happened to her beauty? When she has been brought into that church, and she has desired so the service of the Lord, and that something emanated and went out from her, what happened to that beauty? Now she has to put sackcloth upon her, and she has to disfigure her face with weeping. And yet, that is not all. She says, "That is not everything." No, there is something more to say. But that we hope to consider after we sing. 253. 253, 1, 2, 6, 10, and 11. O Lord, Thou judge of all the earth, to whom all vengeance doth belong, arise and show thy glory forth.
requite the proud, condemn the wrong. 1, 2, 6, 10, and 11 of 253.
Thank you.
look not upon me because I am black. What congregation now does the bride say? Well, in the first place, there are her mother's children. And her mother's children, they are partly the cause of her own blackness. They are those by whom that she has suffered persecution. And that is now a people who are delighting in her blackness. They are a people who are going forth to tell and to increase the blackness of that bride. And they are those who are mocking with that blackness, so would they have it, that she may be the object of contempt, that she may be the object of scorn in the midst of the whole church. The Lord has condemned this. The Lord has condemned this in Edom. Children, who is Edom? Edom is Esau. Esau was the brother of Jacob. And now we know what happened to Jacob, or the children of Jacob, the children of Israel, that they were taken into captivity. And then the children of Esau were mocking. All they said, look now, look at what has happened to the children of Israel, to my brother's children. And then the Lord spoke to Edom, and he said to Edom, I have chastised my people, and you should not have looked upon your brother in the day of his affliction, in that day that he was taken captive. Therefore, he says, I have seen it from heaven, and I am going to judge it from heaven. But this bride is actually not speaking here to her mother's children. No, she is speaking here to someone else. She is speaking to the daughters of Jerusalem. And why? Because she feels for them. And she does not want those daughters of Jerusalem to stumble at her condition, that her backslidings, that her sufferings, that her afflictions, that her persecutions would not be the cause of the discouragement of those little ones. And that in their tenderness, that they may not be too disheartened by all the remaining infirmities that they see in her, all the sinful blemishes that remain in her life. And that is sometimes the case, especially when the persecutors, they are those that are professing that same doctrine, and to make mud out of the name of the true people of the Lord, then there is so much confusion by those daughters of Jerusalem. And now those, that bride, she says, yes, I am black. I cannot deny that. She says, that is now evident in my life. She says, but, she says, do not look upon me. Look not upon me because I am black. She says, because there is also something else. There is also something you cannot see. There is also something secret. There is also something hidden. And what is that? She says, that is my comeliness. She says, I am black, but comely. All my sin and all my shortcomings, they are obscuring my beauty. She says, because actually I am comely as well as black. I am black but comely. O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Oh, she compares her blackness to these tents of Kedar. And so she compares her beauty, her comeliness, to these curtains of Solomon. Solomon, children, very rich. Great buildings for his dwelling places, and rich tapestry in his homes, rich hangings. They are not to be had by anyone, not to be mimicked for their beauty. We know that the Queen of Sheba has come, and she has seen nothing like this in the world. The greatness and the beauty and the riches of this king. The curtains of Solomon. We would say they must have been so very, very beautiful. And thus, the portion of this bride, she says it is a mixed portion. Over against the crosses, she says there is also comforts. Over against all the corruptions that are lying within me and that are coming forth from day to day, there are also graces. Over against all my blackness, there is also beauty. Against all my sin, there is grace. That is a people that cannot be judged by their outward condition, by their outward estate. Yes, they have sad sufferings, but they also have such comfortable privileges. Who would desire that portion of Job? When he is sitting in sackcloth and when he has lost all his children and everything he had, who would desire that portion? Young people, you desire that? Which one of you? Children, young people, which one of you? Say, I will take the portion of Job. No, we don't want his outward portion. But do you see something else? Do you see an inward portion? Are you jealous of that inward portion? What man of himself could do as Job? In such a circumstance, to say, blessed be that name of the Lord. Asaph, we read it, he desired the portion of the wicked. But then he went into the house of God, and he saw their end. And now the bride says, I am black, but comely. O ye daughters of Jerusalem, black. Black as those tents of Kedar yet, but I am comely also as those curtains of Solomon. And why am I comely? I am comely because I am loved by the Lord. I am comely because he has spoken unto my soul. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. And then despite all that I have to go through in this world, and despite all the remaining infirmities, all that I am made comely by that love of him, I am comely because I am forgiven. Oh, is there not such a blessed comeliness in this? Because I am justified in that blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, because I am made free by him of my guilt. Because I am able to appear before that triune God. All black, yes. Black as those tents of Kedar. But I am comely because I am washed. Because I am sanctified. Because I am made holy by his blood. Because I am clothed by him with a robe of righteousness which is covering my blackness, which is covering all of my sinfulness. Oh, I am black, yes. I am black, but I am also comely because there, he says, there is no blemish in me. Because he beholds no iniquity in his Jacob. Neither does he see any perverseness in his Israel. And so that bridegroom, he says, thou art all fair, my love. Oh, there is no spot in thee. Oh, I am black, yes, black, black with sin, black with suffering, black with persecution. Oh, I need it. I need it to humble me. I need it to keep me. No, I need it to bring me in the dust over and over. But what does the Lord say? He says, the king's daughter, they are all glorious within black. Oh, yes, I am black. And from my side, it remains so. I cannot make it different in my life. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Oh, black, yes, but comely. Oh, comely from the side of that bridegroom, I thank God. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Oh, therefore, so I serve with my mind the Lord, and so I serve with my flesh that law of sin. But now, daughters of Jerusalem,
Don't look at me because I am black. Oh, look not upon me because of my blackness, but wonder that such a black one is received of that bridegroom. That is now the wonder, O daughters of Jerusalem. That is now the wonder of free and sovereign grace, that I, even such a black one as I am, I shall magnify him and I shall glorify him forever and forever. O daughters of Jerusalem, you do not yet see actually. You do not yet see how black that you are. Oh, your eyes are yet holden, but if it is the work of the Lord in your life, if it is the Lord's work, then you are going to decrease. Oh, then you are going to go through a difficult way and you are going to become in your life blacker and blacker. And then you can be sometimes so discouraged, O daughters of Jerusalem, so discouraged, but be not too discouraged. Why? Because there is such a sufficiency in that bridegroom. Oh, I am black, so, so very black, and he has made me comely. And when you see your blackness, oh, then he is able to make you comely also. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, remember thy people. Thou knowest how black that they are. And it is nothing but continuous that they make themselves blacker and blacker. And so that way that is so impossible except that thou openest by renewal the wonder of free and sovereign grace. Oh, look, Lord, look a moment upon the daughters of Jerusalem in our midst. Oh, that they may also be here. And that they may also be instructed, and that they may be fed, and that they may be given to learn also how black that they are, and that room may be made for thy Son. Oh, teach it to each and every one of us, and that we may not remain so righteous in our own sight, and there is no place for thee, but that our righteousnesses, that they may become as filthy rags, and then there is hope for our soul. Forgive all that was sinful this hour. Bring us safely home. Bless thy word for Jesus' sake. Amen. 174, 2 through 4. Through pain and trouble thou hast led and humbled all our pride, but in the end to liberty and wealth thy hand did guide. And what follows in 2, 3, and 4 of Psalter 174.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.